Well, I'd like you to turn again, please, to that psalm that we sung some verses from, Psalm 103. I was asked to maybe bring a wee word tonight. And this psalm, when I read it this morning, certainly has within it most appropriate expressions that we should pray God will grant to us. Feelings, emotions, heart stirrings given to the psalmist that surely we would desire tonight. I'm just going to read the opening verses, please. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We'll end our reading there. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. David is talking to himself here, and it is a very appropriate and a very profitable thing for us to talk to ourselves at times. They say it's the first sign of madness, but it's not a mad thing for the child of God to address themselves. We need talking to at times. And let me tell you, there's no one who knows better how to talk to you than yourself. There ought to be no one more aware of the things that you need to be talked to about than yourself. So let's follow the example of David here as he addresses his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word bless is a word that carries the meaning of kneeling down before. It's a word that suggests to us a humble addressing of God. It's also a word that I'm sure you'll realize is connected with joyfulness. To pronounce a blessing is surely to indicate your happy thoughts regarding the person that you're passing on the blessing to. I think, too, there is a sense of a song, a praise, all bound up in this word. So David is calling upon his soul to humbly bow before the Lord and render unto him the praise that is due to his name. Now, as we approach our quarterly communion service, I think there are some things here that it will help us and benefit us to consider as we draw near to that service on the Lord's Day afternoon. The first thing I want you to notice is that we have reasons to bless the Lord. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Let me say to each one of you, God only bestows upon us benefits. Every element of God's decree that is directed toward you is a benefit. He only thinks of benefiting you. The world, very often in its ignorance, will shake its fist at God when something occurs within their life that displeases them. But I tell you this, coming from the hand of God into our lives is nothing but benefits. There's a lovely verse over in Jeremiah. You know it. Jeremiah 29, and it's the verse 11. Jeremiah 29, the verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you an end that you hope for, that you expect. And of course, for the child of God, we have high expectations of what our end will be. Well, God's thoughts are designed to bring about that expectation. And we need to ponder every word that's in that verse 11. The thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil. There's nothing but good in the heart and the mind of God for his people. Turn back again to the Psalms. And it's the Psalm 32 I want you to look at before we quickly look at a New Testament text. Just want to have it registered upon your mind, just what it is God thinks about regarding you and what it is he plans for you. Psalm 33, the verse 11 also. And he says there, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And of course we have every right to do that, because all of God's thoughts toward us are for our good. If we could only get a hold of that truth, I'm telling you, there'd never be a frown on our face again. Never. We would be able to greet every event that takes place in our lives, no matter how it may appear to us, we would be able to greet that event with joy, because it's come from the hand of the one who only plans for our good. And he has no other thoughts regarding us. Romans, the chapter 8, and of course the verse 28. You know that one very well, I'm sure. Romans 8 and 28. And we know, that we did really know. We might have a head knowledge of this, but that it was written on our hearts. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Now, God's people have taken comfort from that verse many, many times, especially in the midst of sorrow and grief that has broken upon them. And they cling to the fact that even this sorrow and this distress that has come upon me, it's for my good. For God only thinks of my good. He only desires and works at that which benefits me. Again, returning to Psalm 103, I want you to notice that his benefits are many. That's what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When your benefits are many, it's hard to remember them all. It's hard to remember them all. When birthday time comes round, and you have a lot of kind friends, you may get a lot of cards, you might even get some gifts. And it's easy to forget someone and not send them a little note of thanks. Because there have been a number of kindnesses shown to you. And we know it's possible to forget. I know at times of weddings, that's something that can easily happen. And care is taken to keep a close list of everyone who has sent anything so that they might be properly thanked. But oh, who can list what God has done for us? Who can list the benefits God has heaped upon us? You certainly can't, and I certainly can't. God was benefiting you before you ever knew there was a God. Before you ever knew the face of your father or your mother, God was benefiting you, smiling down on you, pouring his blessings upon you. How can we therefore calculate all that God has done for us? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross has purchased for us the benefits of God. the benefits of His mercy, the benefits of His grace, the benefits of His providence, the benefits of His eternal purpose and planning. All these have been purchased for us by the precious blood of Christ. We who are creatures of time, I'm sure have on occasions thought about being in heaven for all eternity, and we hear about being in heaven, that we will be there praising God throughout eternity. And sometimes the thought comes in, will it not get a little repetitive? How can we maintain a spirit of rejoicing and thanksgiving throughout eternity? Well, I think it becomes understandable that that is possible because the benefits God has bestowed upon us are so vast. So vast. Not only what we have been brought to experience, but that from which we were delivered and delivered for all eternity will give us verse after verse in our hymn of thanksgiving. How many benefits there are, and let each one of us think upon what God has done for us. Ponder it carefully. Bring it before your mind, even as David here is seeking to do. Strive to bring it before your mind. Now it's clear from the words of David here that it's very possible, in fact it's all too easy, to forget the benefits of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. I would say to you, each one of you, there's not one of you but have on occasions forgotten. Forgotten the many benefits God has poured upon you. Even those that are most prominent and easily remembered, you have forgotten. Not to mention the neglect you have shown of sitting down and stirring your whole being up to think about the benefits that you've never really thought about, that God has bestowed upon you. It can be forgotten. Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106, the verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, even at the Red Sea. Now think of that. They remembered not the wonders of God in Egypt. They had forgotten them by the time they reached the Red Sea. That was only a day or two. That's how quickly we can forget the mercies of God. They can go out of our mind, and we can think of God and act toward God as if the blessings of a day or two ago never happened. I tell you, here is an exercise we should engage in every day, stirring up our hearts to remember what God has done for us. Look at Deuteronomy. And here was a timely word given to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the verse 10 is what we're looking at. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. I was thinking as I read that just this evening, how many Christians there are who sit down to a meal and never give thanks. And how many more Christians who sit down, give thanks for a meal, and at the end of it don't thank the Lord. I'd say we're all guilty of that. And I thought of that here. When thou hast eaten, then thou shalt bless the Lord. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Bless the Lord for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I think we have done that. As I look out across the Free Presbyterian Church, I have no doubt there's a spirit of forgetfulness, a forgetting of how God brought his people out of Egypt. And I'm not talking about the event in Exodus, but I'm talking about the experiences of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families of Free Presbyterian Church round about the 60s and the 70s, aye, and in subsequent years, who experienced a similar deliverance. The Free Presbyterian Church then was a church without property. It was a church without standing, a church with nothing. Hardly money to pay ministers. Hardly money to meet the needs of the running of the affairs of the congregation. But God has enriched it. Have we forgotten? Have we the same lowliness of heart? Have we the same zeal for God's honor? Have we the same loyalty to God and His truth? Have we the same zeal that we had back then? Oh, I just wonder. I just wonder. The loss of that zeal stems from forgetfulness. Do you know the origins of backsliding? Just forgetting the Lord. The prodigal son headed for the far country because he forgot the benefits he was enjoying. He didn't sit down and ponder them and recognize how well off he was in his father's house. And that's why a church backslides. That's why an individual backslides. That's why a congregation backslides. Because it forgets just how much it owes the Lord. On the reverse of that coin, I think I can say that revival is a remembering of what God has done. Revival meetings are meetings in which there are tears shed, not just by sinners, but by Christians. I can remember those meetings that saw the birth of new congregations back in the 60s. And invariably, they were meetings in which Christians broke down and wept. Why? Because they were remembering. They were remembering what they owed the Lord, how they had failed the Lord, how they had been disloyal to the Lord. Psalm 126 is a psalm familiar to us all. And I think you'll find in that brief and blessed little portion of God's word something of what I am talking about. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, we're all weird lad. Here's a renewing of the awareness of what God had done for them. And it eventually resulted in great joy. Doubtless there was many a tear shed at the realization of how forgetful they had been and how ungrateful they had been. But the ultimate experience of their hearts was thankfulness to God. Oh yes, I think that's what revival does. It causes us to think about what it is God has done for us. But David goes on here, not only telling us that we have many blessings for which we should bless the Lord, but he tells us what those benefits are, or at least the chief of them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There are five blessings. Five is the number of grace, you know this of course. Starting at the very beginning of that list, God the Holy Ghost directed David to put forgiveness of sin. Oh, let me tell you. If you have God's pardon, how much you have. How much you have. If God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you all your sins, oh my dear brother, dear sister. What a benefit that is. What a benefit that is. We would never get to heaven without our sins being forgiven. There's none of us could lie down and sleep at night, I think, if we didn't know my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. It's an ongoing benefit, I might say, for I think that suggested who forgiveth. It doesn't say who has forgiven. That's true. But it's ongoing. Who forgiveth? He goes on forgiving. He goes on forgiving. Then there's healing mentioned here. Who healeth all thy diseases. Now I have no doubt that the diseases that are mentioned here are not just physical. I think we maybe think of them immediately. But I think they're spiritual as well as physical. There's diseases of the soul. Sicknesses of the soul. That God heals us from. That's what sanctification is all about. Where there is imparted to us a wholeness, a healthiness. We become more and more the partakers of the life of Jesus Christ. And we become spiritually more healthy. Now, diseases too. Who healeth all thy diseases. I've often read this in hospital, you know, to somebody lying in bed. And as I have read it, I have said, I must say something about this. Because the person lying in bed might not ever get out of the bed. So perhaps they might be thinking as I'm looking and reading these words, what does it mean? He heals all my diseases. Sure, I'm dying here. And there's many I have read these words to who did die. So did they not get healed of their sin, of their sicknesses? Oh yes they did. Oh yes they did. As soon as they left the hospital and went to be with the Lord, they were without sickness. Look at the eternity that awaits us. It's mentioned for us in Revelation, chapter 21, the verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We have no problem thinking about God delivering us in eternity from the corruption of our hearts and lives. Well, it's the same wonderful deliverance that will take place regarding the physical diseases that afflict us all our days. Every consequence of sin we will be delivered from when we get to heaven. The spiritual consequences, the ailments that we suffer within our souls. That's what Paul was writing about in 1 Corinthians and the chapter 15 when he talked about the moment of resurrection when we rise from the grave into which we were led in corruption. But we will rise incorruptible. Verse 42 of 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It's the consequences of sin that will bring us to the grave. But there awaits us beyond the grave a complete deliverance, spiritually and physically, from all the ailments that sin has brought upon us. There's healing now. Who healeth all thy diseases. Then he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Verse 4. Oh, that's something you need to ponder. You need to ponder it very closely. In the Psalm 40, that beautiful Psalm 40, and in the verse 2, the psalmist says, who brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of a horrible pit. That's what David is talking about here. Who redeemeth thy life from the pit of destruction. We were sinking down into that pit. Maybe you young people, and I don't blame you for this, as the years go by, this is a knowledge that you will gain as you look around you, as you see where other people who are not saved are going down and down and down. As you see the consequences of sin in the life of the sinner, you will realize the pit from which God lifted you. God lifted you. I spent some time yesterday in sweet fellowship with our dear brother George Davis. We've been praying for George. He has been told by doctors that he hasn't long to live. George is impatient with that news. He just wants to go and be with the Lord. He's not swept away in misery and grief and sorrow, but he's rejoicing in the Lord. And as we were talking, we just went back over the years and thought of what God has done for us. Oh, stir up your heart and recognize the goodness of God who redeemed you from destruction. Quickly, crowned. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's the crown that's on your brow. Oh, if you put your hand up, you'll not feel it. But that's what God has placed upon your brow. You're ruled over by loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what governs your life. That's what governs your life. God put that crown on your head. Please think upon it. Ponder it. And bless the Lord for it. Then quickly, verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Satisfaction. Only the Christian can know satisfaction. Only the Christian. Only the Christian has a spirit of contentment, who's happy with his or her lot. They're not pining. They're not thinking, oh, if only I had, if I had that, I'd be satisfied. For a sinner, he says that, and when he gets that which he thinks will give him satisfaction, it doesn't bring it. He's just hankering for something more. The world is filled with dissatisfaction, except for the child of God. The child of God who stirs up their heart. Oh, there's plenty of dissatisfied Christians. They ought not to be. They're dissatisfied because they are not following the advice of David and stirring up their hearts to number the mercies that God has bestowed upon them and thank him for them. Satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. A constant renewing, a constant refreshing, a constant strengthening. That's the blessing of the child of God, for which we ought to be thankful. I'll close with this. The remembering of these things will fill us with praise. It was, of course, because these things were before David's eyes that he bursts out in the opening words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And throughout the rest of the psalm, you'll find him expressing a consciousness of God's goodness and thanking God. Look in particular at those well-known verses. Verse 8 there says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." These are the thoughts that are springing up in David's heart. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." Have you ever thought of that, Christian? Every one of us sitting here tonight deserve to be in hell. Right to the youngest. We deserve to be in hell. But we're not in hell. And we'll not go to hell. Because God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord Pity of them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. The very things that he listed at the beginning of the psalm, the five mercies, here he is expounding them. He's thinking about them, and he's seeing more of them, and understanding them to a greater depth. And he's bursting forth in joy. The last three verses of the psalm, bless the Lord, ye his angels. He wants the angels to join in and share in his happiness. Verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you join in the song of the heavens? Have you some recognition of how much God has done for you? As we approach the table on the Lord's Day afternoon, we should do so with an awareness that the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross brought to us immeasurable blessing and joy. How much we owe it. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening, and may we all be benefited by it.